Welcome to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko, the show that brings you man-on-the-street interviews, celebrity guests, and groundbreaking research. Our show is also known as everything you've always wanted to know about dentistry, but we're too numb to ask. I'm General Dentist Dr. Brian Kvitko, and thank you for joining me today.
The following views and opinions do not necessarily reflect those of this station, its staff, management, or parent company. To hear a replay of this show or one of the other great shows that previously aired, log on to dentallyspeaking.com or iTunes, keywords Dr. Kvitko or Dentally Speaking. Listeners should not use Dr. Kvitko's comments and advice in place of an actual dental exam.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kvitko.
Time now for Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko to discuss your dental issues. Now, here's your host, Dr. Kvitko.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Dentally Speaking. Thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate it.
Today is episode 366. And by the way, for those of you that are just tuning in for the first time, yes, we've done 365 episodes, but primarily we were on at a different time. So if you're a new listener, we hope you enjoy the show. Just so you know, we do a Dr. Kvitko question of the day every show, so there's a chance to win free flowers from Weistember Florist, so stay tuned for that. Also, our show is live, so if you want to give us a call, it's 459-9769. It's kind of a variety show, but it happens to be through the eyes of a dentist. That dentist is me, Dr. Kvitko. I've been a dentist in Clintonville for a little over 34 years, and I've been doing the show for a little over 7 years. So, hey, stay tuned, and I hope you enjoy.
I think we have a great show for you today. With us is Farzan Ahmed. He is a native of Pakistan who came to the United States in 1985 to study engineering. He's a graduate of the Kansas State University, the real Wildcats. After graduating as an engineer, he worked in New York City for a couple of years and then moved to Ohio, joining the Ohio Department of Transportation in 1992. In 2011, after 18 years in construction and design management, Farzan was appointed to the post of District Deputy Director of ODOT's District 6, which takes care of all of the design, construction, and maintenance on state and federal roads and bridges in 8 counties in central Ohio. Pretty cool. Hey, Farzan, thank you so much for being on my show.
It's a pleasure to be here, Dr. Kvitko. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, you're very welcome. And just so folks know,
what prompted me to invite you to be on the show is the project that's going on Route 23, north side of town by I-270. It's known as the Trench Project. It happens to be close to where I live, and as I was driving by day after day after day, actually month after month after year, it turns out I happened to notice that a lot of the things that were going on, things like rebar, things like retention, things like water in their way, and all kinds of things that these crews have been facing, are things that remind me of the things that I do as a dentist. So that's what prompted us to ask you to be on the show. And so
today we're going to take a tour of the trench. We just looked in the trench and there's a lot of standing water down there. There's some ice. Doesn't look like it's thick enough to walk on, so we won't be doing that. But we're going to go and find a spot where we can access the trench and maybe walk up in it or whatever. It's really cool because what we'll be able to do is talk about the parallels between what I do as a dentist in constructing dental bridges and fillings and that sort of thing, and how that compares to constructing bridges that we drive on, and I guess even repairs when you do concrete repair, when you do asphalt repair. It's the same thing. You probably didn't notice that you can't just cut a little square hole and put something in there and it won't stick. You have to have it locked in mechanically somehow, some way, just like we do. Fillings, silver fillings especially, are not held in by glue. They're held in by the tooth, the shape. So the filling is wider at the base than it is at the top, and it can't come out unless what's holding it breaks or gives way in some way, and then it would fall out. All right, so we just took a little detour onto the mud road off of where, I guess that's Campus View Boulevard, and driving along the side of the trench, thinking it's going to be a shortcut, but we see a crane up the way. So it's hard to say if we'll be able to fit around it. You might. Depends on whether they have those pods out. Oh, you want to show me something?
It's out of shale. As you can see, there's this whole mountain over here is a mountain of shale. So most of this area is built on shale, which is hard to excavate. Think of it as, since we are talking about similarities between construction and dentistry, it's very easy to excavate dirt. You take a dozer and just start scraping and it comes right off. But think of something that's really built up and solidified. That's shale. and it's a little bit harder to scrape it off. It comes off in pieces, so that's what you see, this whole mountain that we have excavated in order to build this trench.
Yeah, I saw that when you guys first started, and you knew that in advance by doing soil samples, right? Core samples?
Yes, in the beginning of the project, when we are in the planning phase, one of the first things we do is do a lot of soil borings in different parts of the project to see what kind of soil we're going to run into. Of course, this is extremely important when you're dealing with bridges and retaining walls, because designs are dependent on the kind of soil that you're going to build the bridges and retaining walls on.
Okay, so if you have a solid foundation, you don't have to worry as much. You don't have to go as deep, for example. But if it's not so solid, you have to go deeper till you find something solid, right?
That is one of the aspects. And the other aspect is when you're putting something in the ground, there are two different ways of getting the bearing. Because basically the foundation is bearing that weight rests on. And that bearing can either come from end bearing, which is a solid foundation down at the bottom, or it can come from the friction of everything that's around it.
Oh, like an archway, like a brick archway. Each brick is frictionally attached to the next.
Exactly. That's a very good parallel. In this particular case, it's the soil that you are putting the foundation through. And depending on the kind of soil there is, sometimes the friction is enough to hold the column or the foundation in place and give it enough bearing for the bridge or the wall that's on top of that bearing. Now, in some cases, of course, we have to go all the way down to solid base. Shale is interesting. Shale, when you're excavating shale, it's hard to determine when it's going to come off in big chunks or if it's just going to flake off. So we have examples of both on this job.
Oh, okay. And that's why oftentimes the cost of a construction project changes, because they just can't know exactly what they're going to run into when you're talking about, this is about a mile long, right?
Yes, this is a pretty long trench, and of course it's also pretty deep. It's complicated. The idea of construction is not that complicated. The idea of construction is, hey, let's excavate, let's go down to where we need to go down and start building back up. The detail gets very complicated, especially when you're dealing with an extremely congested area and when one of the most important factors is to make sure that you're maintaining traffic while you're doing the construction.
Which we appreciate, by the way, but I understand it probably triples the cost, right? I mean, if you could have shut this down and dug this trench, how long would it have taken if you just didn't have to worry about traffic?
In an ideal world, if we had shut down 23 between 270 and the end of the job, we could have done this in one season. We could have brought in all the crews, all the machine, get down to work and finish it off. But I don't think you'd have been very happy, you or any of your neighbors.
Oh, no, I would have hated it. I'm so glad. I'm one of the people that thinks that traffic should never be affected all that much. I'm so happy. They used to put freeway traffic lanes down to one lane while they were doing construction. And I guess we complained enough that now you guys know we want at least two lanes in each direction.
Well, you know, we are also commuters. We understand. We live in this area. We work in this area. Yes, we are construction professionals and project professionals, but we absolutely do understand the necessity of making it possible for people to go back and forth between work and play and pray and all other things that people like to do. So, yes, keeping that traffic moving is important, and everybody knows that this part of Central Ohio is extremely congested and fast-growing, and growth is awesome. We love it.
I know.
Well, that's what makes our region so special. It's a growing region. Even during the downturn of the economy, we didn't see this area affected that badly, and now that the economy is coming back, we are actually leading the rest of the state in the economic upswing, which is excellent. But, of course, that growth comes at a cost, and that cost is congestion.
Right. Now, we're looking in the trench, and I see we've got some big steel. They're 45-degree. They're supports. There's these big vertical columns supported by 45-degree steel pipes, which is creating some pressure for, or rather, you pour concrete, and the weight of the concrete has to be held in place. Is that what we're looking at there? And why only in two places do we have that supported?
There are various stages of construction as part of this trench. First thing, of course, we did was we drove in piles to hold the road in place as we excavated. And as we excavated below, we put in a temporary wall. It's called a shotcrete wall. We shoot it, and that's what holds everything in place.
Shooting it is with almost like liquid concrete, where you spray it up against the wall, right?
Indeed. It's at high pressure, and it's pretty cool to watch. And if we ever get a chance to demonstrate it, I'll definitely call you, and maybe you can get some pictures and describe it to your listeners. It's pretty cool to watch that operation and process. But once that is done, then comes the permanent wall that's in place. And that permanent wall is built in panels. So when you see that there are some areas where we've got these 45-degree angle braces holding the forms in place, it's because that panel has been poured recently. And once it has taken a few days to cure, and when the concrete sets up, then we remove those and then move on to the next panel.
Okay, Okay. So in between the two that I'm seeing, has that already been poured? They started in the middle and they're working both right and left, or north and south?
From up here, I can't tell if it's been poured or not. If it's not been poured, it's ready to be poured because the forms are in place. I do see some blankets at the other end, so let's drive up closer and maybe we'll be able to see if it's been poured. Okay. And if so, then the removal of the non-existence of these braces means that it's cured and it's firm.
Okay, and the blankets you're referring to are these blankets that go over the concrete after it's been poured in cold weather, because concrete gives off heat as it sets up. It's an exothermic reaction, and that heat then is trapped under the blanket and allows it to cure properly. If you didn't do that, you'd get flaking and you wouldn't have a solid result, am I right?
Well, Doctor, from the way you described it, it seems like you and I were in the same concrete class. That is very well described, and that's exactly how that exothermic reaction takes place. Concrete is... It's got to be handled with care. It's an awesome material. It's really rigid and all that, but it does come with some maintenance while you're doing it. So yes, it's got to be properly cured and properly placed, and the blankets are in place because we don't want it to get cold too quickly while that exothermic reaction is going place, because yes, it can cause flaking. It can also cause some cracking. So this way, the concrete is cured and it's in good shape when it's ready to be exposed.
You know, speaking of the concrete, you've probably noticed this because, like you said, you commute as well. You drive under these bridges, and I know that there are several...
Okay, we're going to do Dr. Kavitko's question of the day. And for the new listeners, because we are at a new time slot, this is your chance to win free flowers from Vice Timber Florist. Well, it's kind of from me, but they're delivered by Vice Timber Florist. So... you may want to remember that when digging their Route 23 trench, they ran into a lot of shale, which happens to be harder to excavate than soil. Okay.
This station will not be held liable for any contesting during Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kavitko. Participation in the contest allows Dr. Kavitko to record and broadcast your name and call. One winner per household, prizes are non-transferable, cannot be substituted, and are subject to taxes and fees. This station cannot be responsible for the inability to enter the contest, whether due to equipment malfunction or telephone difficulties. All decisions of Dr. Kavitko concerning this contest or eligibility are final.
And now it's time for Dr. Kavitko's question of the day.
Okay, while digging the Route 23 trench, which is up there on the north side of town, it's up by 270, they ran into a lot of shale, which is harder to excavate. Is it A, soil, or B, shale? All right, the winner receives free flowers from Vice Denver Florist. They'll be delivered to your place of business this Tuesday afternoon. The number to call, 459-9769. That's 459-9769. So go ahead and call now.
Stay tuned to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kavitko.
I bet everyone knows someone who is afraid of the dentist. In fact, 40% of Americans don't go to the dentist on a regular basis. The number one reason, fear. Well, take heart. Here at Dr. Kavitko & Associates, we've been doing intravenous sedation since 1985, and we offer several sedation options, so we're certain we can help you. Want to be sedated for a filling? We do that. Want to be sedated for a cleaning? We do that. How about a root canal or a crown? We can sedate you for those too. Give us a call at 614-262-9588 or go to drkavitko.com.
Estás escuchando Dentally Speaking con Dr. Kavitko aquí en su sesión favorita.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kavitko. A lot of people ask me if I'm accepting new patients. They know I've been practicing for 34 years, so they assume I'm not. Well, guess what? They're wrong. I do accept new patients. After all, if I'm doing my job correctly, I get my patients healthy, so all they need is routine exams, cleanings, and the occasional filling or two. So that leaves me free to take care of you. So yes, I do accept new patients, and I would love to treat you, your family, and your friends. Give my office a call at 614-262-9588 or go to drkavitko.com. All right, we're back. We are doing Dr. Kavitko's question of the day. And we have some callers on the line. We have Pamela, Catherine, Dale, and Sam. And the question of the day was that while digging the Route 23 trench, they ran into a lot of shale, which is harder to excavate. Is it soil, A, or B, shale? And let's go to Catherine. Hey, Catherine, how are you this morning?
Great. How are you, Dr. Kivitko? Good morning.
Good morning. Catherine, are you a first-time listener, by the way?
No.
Oh, you found us. You found us on the dial.
Yes.
Because they moved our time. Well, hey, thank you for finding us.
Yeah, I love this show.
Well, thank you very much. So, what is the answer? Is it soil or shale?
It would be B, Dr. Kivitko, shale.
You are right. You are right. And what do you do for a living?
I'm sorry?
What do you do for a living? I always ask folks.
I am a student loan bill collector.
Okay.
And I'm really proud about that because I used to do medical and dental and chiropractic, and not that those things aren't important, but there are so many thousands of people in trouble with student loans that it's a very satisfying job.
So you can help them out and help
right,
them.
Right, and I'm bilingual. Hablo español también, so I can help all kinds of people.
Wow, that's wonderful. Hey, that's really great to hear.
And, yeah.
So I do thank you for listening, and please tell your friends where we move to and tune in every week. So let's stay on the line, and we'll get your information, so we'll make sure you get
those
flowers.
Thank you, Dr. Vivico. Have a great week.
You too, Catherine.
Thanks.
Okay, so that was really neat. I love it because I'm concerned that we did move the time, and you know, we used to be at 8:30, and now we're not. Although we're on a couple other stations at 8:30, so go figure. All right.
You know, speaking of the concrete, you've probably noticed this because, like you said, you commute as well. You drive under these bridges. And I know that there are several years ago, they put a new restriction, not a restriction, requirement, that bridges have to have this fencing on them so people don't either accidentally or on purpose throw things over and harm the motorists below. But what I've noticed is that's where the top part of the bridge, the barrier, there's always like a concrete wall. And then on top of that, we have the fence, and it's screwed into the concrete. And have you noticed that that's where the concrete always fails? You see the chips right there where they've put those lag bolts in. Are you guys doing anything different than you used to do to try to prevent that?
That's very observant of you, yes. That is a problem that we have seen in the last couple of decades, well, as the use of this fencing has become more prevalent. When you are drilling holes into the top of the concrete to install those fences, we do fill that with epoxy. And epoxy, the way, and very similar to dentistry again, that epoxy is, once it sets up, it doesn't shrink anymore. So it's supposed to be 100% shrink-proof. Having said that, I don't know if there's any such thing that is 100% shrink-proof. So as time passes, some water does get in there, and through the cooling and heating and freezing and thawing that we see over years, that is an area that slowly starts getting susceptible to cracking on the top of the parapet walls. Yes, you see quite a bit of that. That is something that has to be maintained in time. We are also looking at different techniques of maybe putting in some sleeves inside the concrete so that the bolts can go right into those sleeves so that we can limit the amount of drilling once the concrete is cured and set. Having said that, you have to weigh the pros and the cons. Fencing is important for the safety of pedestrians as well as the traffic below. And that fencing does come at a cost, which means a couple of decades down the road, that parapet wall or that fence may have to be maintained.
Yeah, because it's funny you'd mention the sleeves, because I was thinking if you just put the bolts in at the time it was poured, and so that the threads were sticking up, it'd take a little engineering, because everything has to be measured in advance, right? It can't be off very much. There's not a lot of tolerance there. But if the concrete were poured right around these bolts initially and they were just sticking up out of the parapet wall, then you wouldn't have that issue. You wouldn't need the epoxy. Am I right or wrong?
No, you're right, and we've done it both ways. That's a very precise operation because typically the concrete contractor is a different crew, and then the fencing contractor is typically a subcontractor. So it can theoretically be done while that parapet wall is being poured. Having said that, the parapet wall is not typically poured inside forms. It is actually a form machine that pours it, and it's sealed. So think of it as this giant machine that travels from one end to the other, and it spits out parapet wall as it moves.
Right, so it's like making Tootsie Rolls, right? Just a big long sludge almost of concrete right into the form. Yeah, you have it when you do the walls, like back here by Motel 6. You've been working on that wall there, and you have the rebar. It has the form, and then the machine just has like a big almost like a big grabber.
A cap. It's the machine looks, it's like a cap. It's like a tractor with this cap. And it's got a receiver at one end, and a concrete truck backs up into that receiver and pours concrete into that receiver. It goes through internal vibrations, and as that cap and the tractor move forward, hey, it leaves behind a nice, beautiful, gray concrete wall.
And you mentioned the vibrations, not to interrupt you, but the vibrations, you have to get the air out, no air bubbles. And see, I use a vibrator when I'm pouring plaster models, because when I'm pouring up an impression, if I don't, then I wind up with air bubbles, holes in the representation of my teeth.
Yes. Now, there's a certain amount of air that has to remain inside the concrete. There's entrained air, and that air allows the concrete to actually expand and contract with changing temperatures. But consolidation is the main thing when we are pouring concrete, which is why we use vibrators. Now, in this particular machine, the concrete that goes into this machine is rigid. In other words, there's very little water in there. And the reason for that is, as the machine moves forward, the concrete is standing in place, and if the concrete is wet, it will collapse.
Well, that's what you call the slump, right? You order the concrete to a certain slump?
Exactly. So when we use a form machine, the slump on that concrete is very, very low. It's almost zero. We sometimes refer to it as zero slump concrete. So as we move forward, that concrete comes out rigid, so it's important to have those internal vibrations so that there aren't any voids inside that concrete.
You know, I had a patient, this was about a week and a half ago, front tooth had shattered, two front teeth, and I was building a tooth from nothing, almost like a free form, okay, because I didn't have a form, every tooth's different, and I had to keep it from falling, you know, towards his tongue, falling to the right, falling to the left. I had to hold it in place and do it in a way that I didn't trap a bunch of air, because if I got air bubbles in there, now we got these little pits that catch different colors and stuff. People don't like it because they got a black dot on their front tooth. And so it's the same thing. The slump is pretty important, and most people have never heard that word.
Yeah, I mean, science is amazing. Here we are talking about building bridges and filling teeth, and the principles are the same. Isn't that something?
They really are, more than I think I realized at the beginning. And I think as we go, I'm going to see more and more parallels. So it's pretty cool. But so zero slump, which means it's pretty much almost set when you're putting it out. Now, but I'm thinking, okay, tell me if this makes any sense. Okay, so I understand the way the parapet walls are made, which means it doesn't leave room for bolts to be sticking out the top. But what if the bolts were just under the top, covered by a plastic sheet of some sort, so that your machine could still go over top and leave the flat surface, but then somebody could come by later and peel off the little plastic sections where those bolts were? Would that work?
That would be very hard to do, because as those internal vibrators go through, they are vibrating at a very high frequency. I don't think those bolts would stay in place.
Okay, they couldn't be connected to the rebar down below, which is inside, if they were welded to the rebar?
We are talking about an operation that is so precise that theoretically, yes, it could be done, but I'm not sure practically if it can be done, because the bolt patterns on the fencing that goes on top are very precise as well. So think about, what if there is a certain section where the rebar is not lining up with the bolts in the exact position where they're supposed to be in?
Right, that's why you were thinking sleeves, because there would be some leeway there and you wouldn't have to drill into the concrete.
Yes, and the sleeves actually can also be installed when the concrete is still fresh up top. Concrete finishers are not going to want to do that. One of the things about construction people is they really take a lot of pride in their work. So when the concrete guy is finished, he and she, we have both male and female concrete finishers here, they want that concrete to look just nice and perfect. So they really don't want to come back and try and start drilling holes and try to make it look unsightly, even by accident. So I think that when we look at all of the difficulties in trying to put the sleeves or the bolts in place ahead of time, I think that the most practical solution at this point is still to come back and drill those fencing holes in. And, of course, there are times when we do find it feasible to put the sleeves in. What we are trying to do right now is concentrate on finding out a better sort of an epoxy or some sort of a sealer that we can put on top so that we can prevent that water from going into those holes.
Okay.
This is Clark Kellogg. Stay tuned for more of Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kvitko. I'm intensely dedicated to providing the absolute best dental care. The word mediocre isn't in my vocabulary. I just won't take shortcuts. Isn't that what you want in the person you trust with sharp objects in your mouth? Of course it is. However, people tend to assume that high quality means expensive. But guess what? We're more affordable than you think. Our fees are about the same as one of those chains, but with us, you get my 34 years of experience and my unwavering commitment to quality. Discover for yourself. Call us at 614-262-9588 or go to drkvitko.com.
Vous écoutez à la radio du dentiste avec Dr. Kvitko, ici sur votre radio préférée.
Here at Dr. Kvitko & Associates, we pride ourselves in being a one-stop shop, and we find our patients really appreciate it. Let's face it, no one likes being sent all over town for various procedures, and yet that is what happens at most dental offices. Need a root canal? We do that. Need a dental implant placed? We do that. Need gum surgery, wisdom teeth removed, or your teeth straightened? We do those as well. Why not give us a try? Call us at 614-262-9588 or go to drkavitko.com.
Hi, I'm Dominique Reigert. Like what you hear? Why not use the Dentally Speaking Show to promote your product or service by becoming a sponsor? Call 614-262-9588 to learn how. That's 614-262-9588. Call now or send an email to drkavitko@aol.com.
I'm Grandpa, and I go to Dr. Kavitko, and I still have all my teeth. Real ones. Where's my glasses?
All right, we're back. If you're just joining us, I'm Dr. Kavitko. This is Dentally Speaking. We're at a new time, so I thought I would tell you that. This is episode 366, so you've missed a few. And we are talking about the parallels between dentistry and road and bridge construction with Farzana Ahmed of ODOT's District 6. Well, just an observation that I made, and I appreciate all the answers because it usually isn't as easy as we lay people would think it is, but it's good to know you guys are on top of it and trying to come up with a solution. It's just such a shame because you'll see these parapet walls where whether it says Easton or it says, you know, Polaris or Gemini Parkway, and then a few years later it looks like it's got these rust stains, you know, crying off of the top.
Well, I can see that you have empathy towards construction work, but you are also of a profession which has a similar reputation as construction. People are afraid of construction, and people are definitely afraid to go to the dentist, and I think that's why you understand the difficulties surrounding construction work.
Right. I had a patient, I forget how long this one was. It must only like 2 or 3 weeks. And the gentleman, we get these calls all the time where people say, I lost a filling. I need a new filling, and my tooth hurts like crazy. Now, to me, pain tells me there's more than just a missing filling. It usually means the decay's gone into the nerve or very close to it, and the person is looking at either a root canal or an extraction in some cases. So I wanted him to know that it wasn't just going to be a routine filling, or most likely it wouldn't. And he was going, no, I just lost a filling, and I don't want a root canal. Can't you just fill it? Well, you know what happens if we put a filling on a tooth that has a live nerve when the numbness wears off?
Oh, yes. And, of course, we go through some of that when we are fixing our pavements. There are times when a pothole is just a surface issue, and you go ahead and fix that pothole. But there are times when you see some raveling or some other signs of disrepair on the surface that are actually not just a surface problem but a problem down at the bottom in the subbase, which would be similar to a root canal with teeth.
Exactly. It's collapsed for a reason. It didn't just, like, fillings don't fall out. They don't fall out. They can't fall out. They're held in by your tooth. Now, if your tooth got rotten, your filling might fall out. And if the foundation underneath this construction, this road or this bridge or this whatever parapet wall, if that's gotten mushy, you're going to have a collapse.
So, hey, Ahmed, I want to thank you again for being on my show. It's been a lot of fun having you, and I think we've probably enlightened yourself and some others as to the parallels.
Well, absolutely. I've learned a lot about dentistry as well. Thank you very much, Dr. Kavitko.
Good. Make sure you don't take my job. That's right, Farzana, don't take my job. But isn't that cool? Because I don't think he realized, see, as dentists, we take a materials course. It's called dental materials. It's a scientific course. We have to learn about eutectic phases. We have to learn about when you heat a metal, and if you cool it too quickly, it makes it too brittle, which, by the way, is what sunk the Titanic. You know, everybody talks about it being the iceberg that sunk the Titanic, but the current thinking is if it had been made by current metal standards, metallurgy standards, it would have been more flexible, might have given a little bit and not ripped open. Because when you heat a metal and it's a cherry red color, you have to let that cherry red go away. And when we do gold crowns, it's just like that. So the cherry red goes away and then we we can quench it or cool it. All right, looks like I'm out of time. If you want to follow me on Twitter, it's at Dr. Kvitko, and on Facebook, it's Dr. Kvitko and Associates. Thank you so much for joining me. We'll see you next Sunday and every Sunday morning right here on your favorite station. Goodbye.
This is Carly Red from Love & Hip Hop Atlanta, the hit show on VH1, urging you to tune in next week for another exciting episode of Dentally Speaking with my dentist, Dr. Kvitko.
If you're interested in learning more about this and other dental health topics, go to dentallyspeaking.com to access full episodes of Dr. Kvitko's show.
If you would like to book Dr. Kvitko to speak at your next event, please call 614-262-9588. That's 614-262-9588. Or send an email to drkvitko@dentallyspeaking.com. That's drkvitko@dentallyspeaking.com.